Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that's, well, we're just a little bit different when we're talking about sports medicine. Today, we have a wonderful guest from the state of Colorado, Dr. Mandy Elder. How are you doing today, Mandy?
I'm doing great.
Today, we also have joining us as a co-host, Miss Victoria Chavez. How are you doing, Victoria?
Good, Eli. How are you?
Peachy. I've got plenty of coffee. I'm ready to go. Let's see what happens today. We got a really cool topic, a very cool guest, and we're going to be talking about, well, sports medicine, athletic training. I'm sure we're going to get into avenues I'm not even thinking of, but at the same time, we're going to be talking about boots and hats and, well, animals in the ring, and I'm not talking about the two-legged kind. So, Mandy, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you're at, and what you currently do?
Sure. I grew up in Southeast Colorado, and went to a small school, Adams State College, where I got my bachelor's degree in physical education and exercise science. From there, I ended up in grad school at San Jose State University in California.
Go Spartans!
And I was in the post-professional accredited athletic training program there. I had grown up with a bunch of kids that rodeoed. I'm not a cowgirl by any stretch of the imagination. And they told me, hey, you should be one of those Justin Healers. And I had no idea what they were talking about. But while I was in grad school in California, I had the opportunity with one of my mentors to go to the Salinas Rodeo. And yes, it's pronounced rodeo there.
All righty, then we'll say it that way.
I got to observe and hang out for a day with the infamous Bill Chambers. Bill took me under his wing for the day and then made me come back the next day.
The Bill Chambers?
The Bill Chambers.
Everything and everybody knows in California, the Bill Chambers, the athletic trainer that everybody wants to be.
Yes. Wow. Bill kind of took me under my wing and kind of launched part of my career unexpectedly on that weekend. I ended up graduating from San Jose State, took a job in Oklahoma at Oklahoma Panhandle State University, little teeny tiny school in the middle of no man's land, town of about, there may have been 50 people in the town.
That's a big town. There we go.
Yeah. Was the head athletic trainer there, working with all the sports, teaching, and also trying to figure out how to take care of the rodeo team. It's one of the areas of the country where there are some fantastic saddle bronc riders who have come out of that part of the country. And while I was there, I got a call from Don Andrews, at the time, the owner and founder of the Justin Sports Medicine team, and said, hey, Mandy, I need somebody to cover our rodeo in Guymon. Can you do that for me? I said, I suppose so. So I did that for a while. Finally decided to go back and work on my doctorate and headed off to Oklahoma State, where I finished up my doctorate right about the time athletic training education was transitioning to the accredited program and knew that in about 2001, if I was on the docket, I would get a job because everybody was going to be hiring educators. So I had made the transition, deciding that I kind of like the teaching gig more than the everyday practice gig, and headed off to Oklahoma State, finished there, got a job at Southeast Missouri State University as their clinical education coordinator. And so I worked as the clinical education coordinator there at Southeast Missouri State for a while, and finally had an opportunity to make it back to Colorado, which was where my heart was, and headed back here in 2008 and ran our post-professional master's program up until the time that we made the next transition and started our accredited MSAT program in 2018. That's where I've been ever since, but have been working with Rodeo that whole time since that foray that Bill Chambers took me on that first weekend.
Bill has had that impact on so many people in the West,
Yeah,
and
he's a pretty awesome human being.
he is. And if you've never met him, you really need to. He's just amazing what he's done throughout his career, let alone how much he's helped. Just an incredible person. Mandy, UCCS, so University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, wonderful location. Oh my God, I love the state of Colorado. We've gone, typical California guy. I go camping everywhere, but it's not really camping. I don't rough it anymore. I'm too old for that. We got this killer RV. We've gone through Colorado Springs, going all around Colorado. Just gorgeous. So I can understand how you totally want to get back there. And looking at it, it really is kind of a unique setup. It looks like the college, the Master's in Athletic Training, Master's of Science in Athletic Training program is actually housed within the Nursing and Health Sciences College.
Yeah, so our college has all of our nursing programs from bachelor's to DNP programs. And we have the Human Physiology and Nutrition Department, which houses our dietetics program as well as a variety of exercise related programs. And that's where we house our pre-professional programs as well. And that's the degree route that our pre-AT, we'll call them pre-AT students, go through as they are preparing to pursue an athletic training degree at the master's level. And then our health sciences department in that college has health promotion, our athletic training program, and our brand new hybrid DPT program.
Now, when you say hybrid, is that one of those 3 and 3 or 3 and 2 or 4 and 2?
Hybrid actually meaning that they come to campus for about a 1 week to 10 day stretch for their immersive laboratories, and then they go back home and do the rest of their education online.
I know some high school students that would kill for that right now.
Yeah,
Just had them in class about 30 minutes ago, but that's a different story.
I
So when you left the traditional clinical setting, I love that, Justin Healers, not the Justin Healers setting, but the traditional clinical setting and got into education. What was the thing that really pushed you in that direction?
swore I was never going to be a teacher because both of my parents were teachers, as is my brother. I was just not going to do that. But when I was practicing, I just felt I was pulled in a lot of different directions and really figured out that the teaching side of it is what I was really enjoying, seeing the light bulb moments for students and them getting excited about the profession and being excited about anatomy and that they could actually help people. And I had always thought that I would probably get a doctorate at some point in time. We had an exchange student from Japan when I was a small kid, and he had gotten his doctorate and was a professor. And we kind of joked at some point. I told him I would have my doctorate at a younger age than he had his. And so it kind of became a competition a little bit as well. And I did beat him.
I was just going to ask. All right, there we go.
Yes.
We're all athletic and competitive at our core, so that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right, Victoria?
Yes, Eli. So, getting into the rodeo, that kind of changed your path. Do you offer your students that same experience or the same ability to be like, hey, if you're interested, let me know and I'll kind of guide you along the way?
Absolutely. Many of my students are afraid of the sport because they're unfamiliar with it. Several of my students are curious, and so they've come with me, and others have a true interest. So I gauge that with them. They currently work, several of them work with me on my research in rodeo epidemiology, and I have them come with me at least to watch so that they see what the sport is all about to help them as we're talking about what's going on with their research projects. But I've had quite a variety of students come with me to the rodeo and be able to have that type of exposure.
That's amazing. In your time, have you seen any of them really pursue that route and kind of go all in with just in sports medicine?
No.
No.
I have a few that are in the area and they would help out if they were coming into the area, but many of them end up in locations where there's not really the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so because they're not as passionate about it, they just chalk it up to experience and fun and we move on.
Well, at least they can say they did it.
I got to go back to the whole fear factor. I wouldn't be afraid of, I don't know, being at the rodeo. I'd be afraid of being in the ring at the wrong time. That's what I'd be afraid of. Those horns are pretty big. That could hurt.
Yeah, well, we don't really usually go into the arena until
I would
all
hope
those
not.
horns leave. I got told a long time ago by our favorite Bill that one dead person's better than two. So that was an interesting lesson to learn.
A
And it
chamber's
sounded,
ism. I like that.
yeah, it sounded pretty bad at the moment, but I totally understand what that means. And you gotta know what's going on, and that's the benefit of working with somebody who's done that before, is they can teach you the ropes about when to and when not to enter into that arena.
Now, whether that pun was intended or not about teaching somebody the ropes, I liked it. So you.
Unintended.
Unintended. So you've been with Justin Sports Medicine. And for those listeners that aren't quite sure what the Justin Sports Medicine team is, can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah, the Justin Sports Medicine team is a professional medical providing company that is sponsored by the Justin Boot Company through the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association to provide sports medicine services to professional rodeo events across the country. And we cover anywhere from 125 to 160 rodeos a year across the country. Mike Rich, the owner of the company that provides all the services, has a staff of program managers. There's about 13 of us who call ourselves program managers, who are a little bit more in charge of the different events we're scheduled. We're the ones that are showing up. And then we have program associates who are local providers who come in and also participate in providing services at the rodeos where we are.
And for those people wondering, is Mike Rich part of Justin Boots or he? I'm looking at his bio right now.
Mike
Mike
is a
Rich
businessman, and
and an
he,
athletic trainer.
yes, athletic trainer PTA. Our staff is full of athletic trainers, physical therapists, PTAs, and physicians of a variety of sorts that provide services through our staff. And Mike is contracted under the Justin Boots Sports Medicine name to provide that care.
What a concept. What a way to take care of people and help. I could only imagine from what I've read, it started in the late 80s, early 90s, really evolving into what it is today. And what they do for those professional rodeo athletes is just amazing.
Yeah, having started in the mid-90s to now, just the variety of care and the approach that we've taken with the athletes is incredibly different. And the care that we're able to provide has just come a long ways. But a lot of what we do is education, because we're not at every rodeo where all those athletes are. And so we have to do a lot of education to help them help themselves as they're traveling down the road until we get to see them again.
So would you say that from starting till now, you've seen the athletes become, excuse me, more independent or dependent when they have you guys?
I would say they have become much more independent. My doctoral dissertation was on physical activity in the rodeo athlete. And at that point in time, they kind of rodeoed for fun, and their activity came from whatever they did during the week as a farmer, rancher, worker, just general physical activity. And we now have athletes who have significant workout protocols. They're training like our regular professional athletes are training. Not all of them, but many of them. And so we have seen our rodeo athletes come a long way. And I can tell you now, I can truly call the people I work with athletes, whereas before they were kind of weekend warriors, but they are definitely an athlete that we're working with now.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I would really suspect that over the last few years that you've been doing this, in that evolution of weekend warrior to athlete, you've seen the specialization of these athletes. And it's probably reared its ugly head in a few ways that have led to some pretty substantial injuries that reoccur. With that and the education that comes from taking care of any patient, how have you been able to help them understand, hey, this might happen again. Here's what you should do.
You know, our athletes that are competitive, just like in any other sport, they start to learn about their body. They're curious about what can I do? What can I do to make myself better? How can I perform better? How can I not be injured? How can I get over this more quickly? They really are hungry for the information. So we provide a lot of information to them. We have some of our associates who and program managers who are really good at the strength and conditioning aspect as well. And so providing them workout programs, the athletes themselves, we have many of them who are strength and conditioning experts and variety of healthcare providers who share their knowledge. It's a really interesting sport in how they help each other. They're not as com they're competitive when they get in the arena, but they're going to turn right back around and help their friend with their ride and with their competition because they all know that at the end of the day, you know, they're paying to play. And if they don't get paid because they win, they go home empty-handed. And so if they're going to pull a paycheck, they have to get better. And that's a very different piece of the puzzle than many of our traditional professional athletes.
And I bet many of these people have a better sense of love for the sport because of it.
Yeah, they're very passionate about their sport for sure, which I think you have to be to get into the sport. And I have so many people tell me that they think rodeo athletes are crazy. And I probably thought that at some point in my life. And I myself wouldn't get on animals because it's just not my thing. But they are overcoming a performance approach. And if you think about that same thing, it's no different than somebody wanting to ride a mountain bike. It's no different than somebody wanting to ski race. There's a physical challenge and there's a way to approach that sport in a way that helps you be good at what you're doing. And they're truly very interesting athletes.
I say in my class, it doesn't matter what sport you are doing, you're always a little mental to be an athlete. You have to be. You
Yeah.
got an edge to yourself. You just want to be the best in whatever you do, and you're competitive. There's a little something off. That's just in our nature, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying it is what it is. And
Yeah.
hey, have fun while you can.
Absolutely. And they do. Let me tell you, those guys and gals can certainly have fun with their sport.
And I'm looking at the educational aspect that you guys have set up through Justin Sports Medicine on the website. And it's really extremely helpful for these individuals out on their ranch or out at their home, wherever that might be.
Yeah.
You've got stretching exercises, you've got taping, PCL tape job with Elasticon video, how to properly do it. Because, like you said, there's not always somebody there. So you
Right.
guys really have set up a way to educate these athletes, no matter where they're going or what they're doing.
Yeah, we talk to them a lot about how to train on the road and equipment that fits in a vehicle under the seat, in the back of the truck, in the trunk of the car. Talk to them about picking their hotels if they're staying at a hotel because there's a pool available so they can get in and do some unweighted body exercise and or picking their hotel because it's got a weight room in it, you know, or a fitness center. And really have to think differently because we know, especially in the summer, they are probably on the road more than they're ever going to be in one place. So it's really important to help change your perspective on how you train an athlete to being incredibly portable. And they've taught us a few tricks, let me tell you.
I bet they have, yeah.
So you mentioned research and epidemiology for rodeo athletes. Do you mind sharing what that looks like? Because I mean, we've looked into a lot of research for football athletes, soccer, but not really rodeo.
So I set out as a faculty member having to do research as part of my role in that position to consider how could I help with the rodeo athlete. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the team. And so I've been able to get access to the data because I also help the team with our electronic medical record. And so by helping to structure that and pulling that data on the back end and looking at that data for the team to be able to say, what are some of the things that we need to do to help prevent injuries? What injuries are really happening? It's confirmed a lot of the things we knew anecdotally for sure. There have been a few surprising things that have come out of the data. Like we finally figured out that the rough stock horse riders were more in likely to be injured when they were in the chute than they were out in the arena. So the prevalence of injury was higher in the chute because horses rear up quite often in the chute and they were getting smashed up against the panel behind them. And so
Might I say, ow?
sometimes, for sure. So one of the cool things that came out of that particular set of data is we were able to make a rule recommendation to the PRCA to put padding where padding could be placed in between the chutes to help try to mitigate potential risk to those athletes. So now we're seeing that at pretty much every rodeo, and I'm curious in another 5 years to be able to look at that data again and see if we've decreased any of those injuries. But that's been kind of a fun aspect of what I've gotten to do as probably my bigger role as part of the team is to help get data and collect that data well. So that we can really start to hopefully make a difference down the road.
Great to be able to see an issue, acknowledge the issue, and make steps towards addressing it.
I presume that's the epidemiology of hip injury and professional rodeo, a 4-year analysis study. Is that the one?
That was one of them. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's another one that's just prevalence of injury in the sport of rodeo. We started in 2011 with our newest first electronic medical record tracking that information. And so there's a couple of papers coming out. I have another one that should be coming out soon that's a longer look at that data. We also have to get data from a variety of sources so that we can analyze risk. Trying to merge data from two different organizations sometimes is a little bit challenging.
I could only imagine.
Yeah, lots of time cleaning data.
Oh, you did say one thing, and just for those people that don't know it, you said you took that data and that information to make the difference to the PRCA. Who is the PRCA?
They are the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, and that's one of the several professional level cowboy sporting organizations in the country. It's probably the one that's most well known. And so that's who is the basically the national governing body, for lack of better term, for professional rodeo.
That was more for my sister because she always has questions. So that way she can know exactly who's what and what's what. And
Sure.
that,
And
yeah.
their office is right across the interstate from me and right next door to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. It
Well, heck, that's just convenient now, isn't
is sometimes, yes.
it? elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
In terms of rodeo athletes, again, what's the biggest challenge you've seen so far? Typically, our athletes have access to electrical stim, Theramex, Normatec, all these high-end therapeutic modalities. What exactly are they doing to get that?
So we do lots of stim in the trailer, and we also have class 3B lasers in the trailer. We don't travel with ultrasound because that would be a disaster traveling down the road. Lots of vibration. They like vibration guns and the vibrating foam rollers. If we're at a rodeo where we actually take one of our sports medicine trailers with us, we have a fully functioning athletic training room that we park right at the side of the arena. We have triage space in there for our physicians so we can do minor medical procedures, sutures, casting, that type of thing right there in the trailer. We also have capability to have ice and heat that we take with us as well. So I would say the majority of the treatments that we do, if it's not taping, bracing, it's going to be a manual therapy approach. And we do lots of hands-on care for our athletes. And I would say that our more typical providers are very skilled manual therapy clinicians to be able to help take care of our athletes.
That's great.
I know I haven't said it yet. We have a young, blooming, future Justin sports medicine team member with us today in that Miss Chavez has recently stepped into, well, not literally into the ring, but into the Justin sports medicine team and helped a little bit at what rodeo was it?
I was keeping that on the down low, Eli.
You know me, that ain't gonna happen.
It was the San Bernardino Sheriff's Rodeo.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was my first one. I was afraid to. I thought someone was going to be killed. The experience was, it was great. I have no words for it. I would definitely go again. You know, after talking, they did mention that there aren't many rodeos here in California anymore, sadly.
Well, there is one coming up in Red Bluff, if you know where that is. It's about 6-7. Well, the way I drive, 7 hours north of us up in Northern California. Justin sports medicine team will be at. It's the California Circuit Finals. So, Victoria, I mean,
we have a basketball tournament then, Eli.
So, what Todd doesn't know doesn't hurt him. We'll keep that part on the down low, okay?
Yeah. Middle of Northern California is going to be your better bet for some rodeos out in that area.
Yeah, probably.
My favorite one is definitely, we were just talking about this with another person, Clovis Rodeo. That was my first rodeo growing up. I have a ton of family up there, and I will never forget, I think it was 3 or 4, going to it and going, this is amazing.
It took me a long time to realize that that was Clovis, California, that we did a rodeo at, not Clovis, New Mexico.
I didn't know there was another Clovis.
There's your tangent for the day.
Thank you very much. I learned something today.
So would you say, how do I word this? Rodeo. It was very popular back in the days. Times are changing. Would you say that it has the same popularity moving forward?
I would say it does still have some popularity. We had a little period of time where we saw a drop off maybe in some participation in some of the different events. Not all of them, but just a few of them. This year, just watching what's going on, we're looking at a bunch of 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds who are back into competition. So I think we're going to see just a continuance of the sport, especially out west. We have rodeos in Florida and North Carolina, and there's a whole different rodeo association out in in the eastern part of the country called the International Professional IPRA, International Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. I don't know. I've got a vest over here with that on it. I did one for them one time. There's even rodeos in New York. So I think it's just gonna depend on the year and the age group of people we've got coming up.
Let's not forget there's one or two in Vegas too.
There are. Thank you, Vegas, for this cold I've got.
Ah, well,
Oh.
that was kind of them to send you on your way with a little reminder.
Yes, for sure.
Souvenir, so to speak. That was nice of Vegas. Oh, goodness. This has been a passion of yours for a number of years. As you said, you've kind of passed it on a little bit whenever students are curious and interested. What does it take as a clinician to be that athletic trainer that gets involved in this type of clinical setting? What are the traits that you need?
Persistence. Because rodeo is a nomadic sport, I mean, we travel, we move. I don't even know how many miles get put on our trailer every year. Very few people are actually traveling with the particular sport to get to work in rodeo all the time. I've been blessed to have gotten connected when I did, with the people I got connected with and to live in the places where I've lived. Because we have a good bit of rodeo. So, being in Colorado Springs, I work rodeos from Denver down to Pueblo. I'm traveling to do that. One of these days, I'm going to make it up to Cheyenne, and Chad's going to hold me to that at some point. There's just opportunity for me to do that. Plus, I'm pretty well ingrained in the organization at this point. We need younger people, though we're not getting any younger. And having some younger people who have knowledge of what a rural athlete might be like is important because they're not your typical folks. They're going to tell you no. They're not going to get in an ambulance unless they absolutely have to. They're going to travel down the road and they're going to go home, and they may not have a primary care provider at home because they're in a rural community. There may not be an orthopedic physician anywhere near them. And so it's learning how to work with the network that we've created and just truly understanding that they're going to go home and have to do chores. You can't tell them to sit on the couch. That's just not going to happen. They're going to be feeding animals. They're going to be driving tractors. They're going to be baling hay or doing whatever it is that they're doing back in their community. And that doesn't mean that all of them are. Some of them are teachers and some of them are lawyers and doctors and other things. Having that understanding is very helpful for the sport. And then just being willing to communicate and understand that it's a slow process to get engaged in the organization. And it may only be one rodeo a year. It may be a couple because we move a lot. It's not an easy thing to say, oh, I'm just going to get involved with this group. It's kind of like being involved in an Olympic sport where there's certain events only at certain places and there may only be one or two people being involved. So if, there's other opportunities at smaller organizations with college rodeo at universities that have college rodeo teams, there's clinics that besides ones out here, besides the Justin Sports Medicine team, that'll travel a trailer to the rodeos in their area. And that may be five or six, or that may be their college rodeos. So that may be 10 rodeos a year for their college area. And you just have to continue to be committed to the sport and looking to places where you can engage.
One thing you didn't mention, high school.
Yeah, high school, there's junior rodeo as well. I've worked everything from little britches to high school to college to
Little Britches. Oh, I like that. That's
rodeo.
awesome.
Yeah, the National Little Britches Rodeo Association based here in Colorado Springs. So there's a variety of opportunities to engage with and age groups to engage with. It's not just the pro rodeo cowboy.
So when you say Little Britches Rodeo, that just gave me a flashback. We were in Steamboat Springs for the 4th of July, probably about 7, 8 years ago, and they do a really awesome rodeo 4th of July. So a shout out to Steamboat Springs. But I'd never seen And that's the exact, it was a little britches. I mean, you got a little cowboy on a bucking sheep. And I had never seen that before. And I
Yeah,
mean, that little guy
that's
had some
called
fun.
busting.
That's called what?
Mutton busting.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. One of the scariest things I ever saw at a rodeo was at a little britches rodeo, and some parents, God bless them, had Velcroed their child to their saddle because they were so tiny, their legs, were just kind of sticking out to the side, and there's like Velcro across the saddle seat, and their kids Velcroed to it. Well, the saddle slipped, meaning that the cinch strap on it came loose, and that kid slid underneath the horse and was still Velcroed to the saddle. And
Oh my
that's
God.
not it. That is the worst place you can be on a horse, is in between the four legs. So I was a little traumatized by that myself. My recommendation, parents, don't Velcro your kids to their saddle.
Yeah, that's an image you can't get out of your mind once you see it. As a parent, let alone as a clinician, oh my God, I'd be freaking out.
Mean, I get the idea you're trying to keep your kid from falling off the horse, but if you're going to do that, you better make sure that saddle's going to stay put.
Now, a second ago, you said you promised somebody that you'd get up to Cheyenne. And who was that person?
Chad Schmidt, he is athletic trainer at the Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's also a program manager with Justin's sports medicine team. He's a longtime friend of mine. Also went to Adams State College many moons ago. One of my favorite mentors, and he helps with the Cheyenne Rodeo. I should probably say Rick Foster is going to tell me that too. Chad and I have kind of had fun over our career. He also helped get me started in rodeo with working with the National High School Finals Rodeo many years ago.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at the map here. I mean, that's a straight shot up the 25
It's
through,
only a couple
what is that?
hours. I just need to get it done.
I've done that driving an RV and it only took me a few hours to go up to Cheyenne. I mean, Chad, you really gotta, I don't know, nudge her a little bit because that ain't a far drive. I've done it, buddy. She should be up there helping next year, I think.
I'll do it eventually. Sometimes I just don't want to venture into Cheyenne during frontier days because it gets a little crazy.
I bet. I'm sure it does. Having all this experience and all this time, Justin sports medicine, rodeos, taking care of people, what really got you going? What really got you there? And why do you keep going back to it every year?
What got me started going back was the fact that my first rodeo, I was in the trailer by myself, and a cowboy walked in, very famous cowboy, asked me for a roll of tape. I handed him a roll of tape. He went back, he taped himself. He handed me what was left of the tape and said, "Thank you, ma'am." And I looked at him, I'm like, "I didn't do anything." And he said, "Thank you very much." And he walked on out. And I was like, I can't remember the last time somebody said thank you. For me, not really doing much for him as an athletic trainer. And they just are the down home kind of people that I grew up with. So I'm pretty comfortable around them. And once I started teaching full time, it just gave me the opportunity to keep my hands and my skills active and up to par. The volume of stories I have in the classroom, my students will tell you they're the worst stories they hear. But I am a much better clinician today for working with rodeo, even though I don't get to do it real often because I'm doing it 5, 6 times a year. What I see is head to toe. In a weekend, I can cover a whole variety of things. I've probably spine boarded more than many athletic trainers out there in traditional sport setting. So emergency skills to rehabilitation skills to assessing general medical conditions to anything in between. I see that in a weekend. If I were to work a basketball tournament for the weekend, I may see nothing. I may see some sprained ankles, maybe a knee, but definitely not the volume of things that I see when I get to work with rodeo.
Again, we can keep that on the down low, Victoria, just saying.
Okay, Eli. Okay. You mentioned that you get to attend the rodeo maybe 5 to 6 times a year. Do you ever get nervous not having done, emergency scenarios for a stretch of time and then kind of jump right back in?
Not as much as I used to, probably because I've done it enough now that it's just something that I'm constantly thinking about, and we talk about it in class a lot as well and practice with our students. So even though I may be doing it more in a simulated environment with my students, I'm still walking through that process, but it's that, medical timeout process in your brain as you're driving to the event, thinking about what are the things that could go wrong. What do I need to do if they do? Who are the people that I'm working with? And I've been very fortunate that the events that I get to work, I have outstanding staff that work with me, very experienced. Many of the paramedics I work with are very experienced. And most importantly, the bullfighters that are at the events where I work are very experienced bullfighters. And that's a really important aspect to what we do because they save our necks a lot, and so taking care of our bullfighters is a good thing. So I worked one rodeo one time, and I was like, man, these bullfighters. And I got told, Mandy, not all bullfighters are world class like the ones you usually work with. Okay, I've been very fortunate in my career to have been exposed to some really good professionals.
That's great. That's great. Do you guys, so with football games, typically we meet with the other medical staff beforehand. We give them their medical timeout card, just run through a few basics. When you get to the event, do you guys do a quick little walkthrough of, hey, I'll cover this, you cover that? Boom, settled, or
Yeah, absolutely. Every event, we have our medical timeout. We talk with our staff. Sometimes it's longer if we have new staff. Sometimes it's shorter if it's the same old group of folks. But definitely before every performance, we're talking with EMS, letting them know what our expectations are, what our call signs are, reminding them not to enter the arena unless we call for them, because that could be one of the bigger hazards we have to deal with is they get excited and forget that there's still a lot of beef running around out there. So, it's not unlike any other sport. You have to take that moment to think about it, and our chance for risk of significant injury is high. And so we really have to be paying attention to that. I mentored a young group of athletic trainers at a training camp a few years ago. Only one of them had seen rodeo before. The rest were new. I was trying to kind of coach them through what was going on. And once we got started, they were less nervous. And then we had a situation that arose that required everybody to be on staff. And it unfortunately had a little bit more of a negative outcome for that individual. It was a bad day, but we had that timeout and they did a great job. And we had that athlete packed and transported and at the hospital within 20 minutes after the incident. So that's an outstanding time in a rural area. So it's essential.
wow. That's
that
amazing.
really makes it acutely real right then and there when you say it that way.
Yeah. And knock on wood, there's some wood in my office. That may be the worst one that I've had to deal with. So,
Knock on wood, definitely.
yep.
You're bringing up paying it forward, looking back. Have you been able to preserve some of the traditions of the rodeo and adapt it to what we do nowadays in healthcare?
That's funny. We just covered the wrist and hand in my assessment class with my students, and we actually spent a lot of time with upper extremity talking about rodeo because we see lots of wrist and hand injuries, and you have to be good at evaluating that and can't just say, oh, that's a sprain, see you down the road. But we actually pulled up the Justin Sports Medicine team website, and I'm like, we're going to do this tape job today. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because we tape a lot and we tape well, and our athletes actually could probably tape better than most of my students. Well, I guarantee you the athletes tape better than my students. No offense, students.
She still loves you. Don't worry. You're doing well, but.
They know, I tell them. But our cowboys are really good at taping themselves and taping elbows and taping wrists. And I talk to them a lot about gymnastics and rodeo and how many similarities I saw when I was working with gymnastics and wrist and hand injuries and taking things I'd learned from the rodeo and utilizing those tape jobs and those prevention mechanisms for my gymnasts and the gymnasts being excited about it and thinking it was pretty cool that they were doing the rodeo tape job. So yeah, it's easy to take that's just like any other sport. Let's take it from this one and apply it to that one. Definitely have to be good at the upper extremity in the sport, all the way down to the fingertip.
And we're looking right now. I've got the website up on the modalities and devices in the mobile sports medicine centers. Justin Sports Medicine, it looks like a fifth wheel. How many mobile clinics do they have?
They have two trailers that travel around the country. They get jockeyed around from here to there. One stays mostly on the West Coast. One kind of travels through Texas in the Midwest, Colorado area. Sometimes they get crossed over in between. Some facilities we work out of space that's already available. So in January at the National Western Stock Show in Rodeo in Denver, we actually have a little portable building that they pull in for us. Kind of a shed, a portable shed that becomes our athletic training room. But indoor rodeos are easier to do that than the outdoor ones.
I tell you what, it looks pretty well taken care of and well stocked. And to have something that portable,
Yeah, it's
that's kind
pretty
of nice.
impressive. You also have to be a little OCD to work out of those trailers because stuff has to go back where it belongs. And that I tell my students that all the time. I'm a little OCD because of what I do and because of who my mentors have been. And it's because if stuff isn't back in the right place in the trailer, it takes you forever to find it. But it also has to be in there because it's got to travel down the road and stay put.
That's one thing I know from RV traveling. Yeah, things don't stay put, so they better be really close to where they're supposed to be. Yep.
Our hydroc unit is built into the counter, so it sets down in it so it doesn't slide around. If you have a CDL, you'd be a great candidate for being part of the team for being able to drive that trailer down the
Don't give him any ideas.
My wife's thinking, go right ahead, Eli, please.
Yeah, I was working with another trailer that was not just in sports medicine team one time. We pulled up to the National High School Rodeo and opened the back end of the trailer, and we all just kind of stood there. And the cabinets had fallen off the wall of the trailer. And
Oh no.
you know the coverlet box that has all the coverlet bandages in it?
Oh yeah.
It exploded.
Oh my God.
Bandages and triple antibiotic ointment packages everywhere.
I
Everywhere. So that was how we started our weekend, cleaning up.
just a handful of them, I'm sure. Not too many, right?
Just the whole full
Oh
thing.
my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so, yeah,
That's a
that was
nightmare. That's a
when we were
nightmare.
bored, we started sorting band-aids and that was fun.
Well, I can't imagine.
We have different ideas of fun. That's ah,
Less
no.
fun would be Victoria. Go over
Victoria, take care of
to
that. You're on that.
Yeah, well
You're on
then
it.
that turns into the whole mechanic part of the job, right? In your regular athletic training room, you got to figure out how to fix the ice machine. In this setting, you have to figure out how to haul a trailer, park a trailer, fix the ice machine, put cabinets back on the trailer, fix the air conditioner unit. Oh, there's a leak in the trailer. We've got to figure out how to fix the leak. Oh, we got to get a try to get a TV feed. What do you know about coax cable?
I'm checking all the boxes so far. Keep going. We're doing good.
So yeah, there's a lot more to the job than just being the athletic trainer.
All that stuff that's not in the books that we have to know and learn, right?
Yes. Yep. And then go hang out in the mud with all of the stuff getting flung at you. So
Sounds fun.
welcome to the sport.
But what a sport. It's just amazing. We only got a little more time. I don't want to take too much of your day. You're fantastic for just taking this amount of your day with us.
This has been
Couple.
more fun than writing a final.
And
It's fascinating.
I'm sure your students are, Eli, keep her for a while.
Yes.
Please keep her for a while.
For sure, for
That's
sure.
exactly what my students would be saying right now, too. Moving forward, looking into the future, and then pausing, looking back on yourself right before you met Bill. What advice would you give yourself back then to try and get to where you are now, if you could?
You know, that's funny. We were just doing interviews yesterday and asked somebody that similar type question. I was like, how would I answer this question? And I never answered it. So now I
Well, I guess
really
now we
have
find out, huh?
to answer it. What would I tell myself? Step out of your discomfort and lean in to listening to the mentors who are trying to pour into you. I was a very shy kid. And me doing anything with rodeo was outside of my comfort zone. I'm still not a cowgirl. I tell my students I'm a cowgirl only when I dress like one when I'm on TV. So doing rodeo was not my thing, but I got set into that environment, which really changed the trajectory of my career. And I had people push me to go further and cover the rodeo in Guymon, Oklahoma by myself without one of the typical program managers. That was an unreal situation for me. But that just leaning in and listening to them say, you can do this, you have this opportunity, can be life-changing and life-altering. And you just never know what little nugget they give you is going to make your world better.
Little nuggets are great. That's very true. Victoria?
I think she had beautiful words to say,
I
very
do.
wise, and I have to resonate with that because I'm stuck with you the rest of the workday.
Yeah, I love that. So, off that, you should really lean into it and listen, Miss Chavez.
Where's Joel?
Can come over and hang out with me, Victoria. Yay, Mandy.
Oh, geez, I'm being ganged up on. Love it. Love it. It's a typical day. Yep, I see how it is. Okay. Mandy, this was fantastic. I really do appreciate your time. I learned so much. Maybe I'll try leaning and listening to Victoria today. We'll see how that goes.
Well, it's been fun. I appreciate you having me, and let's do it again sometime. This would be
I certainly hope so. We're working on maybe getting a roundtable discussion with several people we've talked rodeo. So that would be a lot of fun to have you back and just have a little fun talking about rodeo again.
Well, please know there are some much wiser people than I am in the sport of rodeo. All my mentors ahead of me, Mike and Rick and Chad, and for sure wouldn't be where I am without them.
Well, I'm sure all the people you've ever treated, all those rodeo participants appreciate them for getting you where you're at now. And we appreciate you. You have a wonderful day. Thank you for being part of Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More.
Thanks,
Thank
man.
you.
Have a great day. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Halleck. It is produced by Gabriel Halleck. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Halleck Consulting, LLC.